Welcome, friends, to Inspirational Truths, a time for exploring truths from God's timeless book. My name is Todd Price. I believe that song and the message for today will be a blessing to each of you. So with that in mind, it is my privilege to introduce to you the founder of Inspirational Truths, my father, Tom Price.
Well, greetings, friends. My name is Tom Price, and I'm happy once again to say it's Inspirational Truth time. Once again, I greet you in the blessed name of Christ, my Savior. I want Him to be yours. He can be yours. In fact, He came to be yours. The Son of Man, Luke 19:10 says, the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which is lost. And listen, if you're in that lost category, before the day's ended, by the grace of God, you can be in another category altogether. And I hope and pray that you'll do that. Hey, can I tell you something? I believe Jesus is coming. I believe honestly with all of my heart, He's going to come soon. Now, although that isn't the message I'm going to preach today, it would make a good message. I love preaching on the second coming of Christ. I love preaching on the fact that He that said when He was here, He's going away to prepare a place for us, and He said, I will come again. Listen, I like that. I'm excited about it, but I want you to be a part of that. And you're going to be a part of that, but I'm talking about the right part of that. I don't want you to be left behind. I don't want you to be left behind when Jesus comes with a shout, the voice of an archangel, and the dead in Christ shall rise. We that are alive and remain shall be changed. Paul said in 1 Corinthians, in a moment of the twinkling of an eye, he goes on in Philippians to tell us we'll meet together, the dead in Christ, the alive in Christ, we'll meet together in clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And I like this, so shall we ever be with the Lord. Well, that's not the message. The 2 Peter chapter 2 is right after the book of 1 Peter, right before the book of 1 John. We're going to look at a couple of verses of Scripture there in chapter 2, and it deals with the apostasy. It deals actually with the days that you and I are living in. Debbie's going to do a song I love. The title of it is Get Ready. Get ready, friend, and I hope that you will. Matter of fact, I hope you'll get ready today. I'll be back in a moment.
Trumpet, get ready for the sound. When Jesus calls us, we'll not be around. Now it could be tomorrow, but it could be today. So get ready for the trumpet when He calls us away.
that, don't you? Thank God. Thank God, folks, He's coming again. He is coming again. But until then, we got to look for Him. We've got to live for Him. We've got to learn about Him. We need to long for Him, those of us that know Christ as their Savior. And listen, folks, listen, I hope the message today penetrates your heart. I hope God uses it to enlighten you and to enable you to see, friend, just how imperative that it is that you give your life to Jesus. I hope that it helps us see where we're at. Listen, I believe with all of my heart that we're living in the last days. I believe that. I believe that for a long time, because the truth is, we are. Friend, anybody that has any Bible acumen about them, anybody that understands prophetic truth, the Word of God, will agree and say Jesus must be coming soon. There are even people in the world. They're not believers too much. They're not spiritual too much, but they'll say, it can't go on the way it's going on. And that's exactly what the Word of God said. Hey, can I tell you that God, listen, God doesn't have to warn. God who is holy, God who is almighty, God who is just, God who is righteous, God who possesses all knowledge, possesses all power. Hey, He doesn't owe us anything. But because He is a God of love, because He is a God of grace, because He is a God of mercy. He warns us. He wants us to know. He wants us to be ready. The Bible said that I take no pleasure in the death of the wicked. And He cries out, so why will you die? Listen, friend, I'll tell you, it's God's will that no man perish. It's God's will that every man be saved. But here's the kicker. God's done His part. The only way that we can be saved, the only way we can be spared a Christless eternity, the only way that we can avoid the devil's hell that's down the road for all of those who reject Christ is to trust Him as their Savior. And I know this old kind of preaching doesn't go over very well. I know it's not real popular. Hey, I'm going to tell you something, though. I still believe in the blood. I still believe in the blood that Jesus shed, not spilled, but shed at a place called Calvary. I still believe that it's salvation by grace through faith. I still believe John 3:16, whosoever will, let him come. Listen, I still believe that there's a heaven to gain and a hell to shun. I still believe this King James Bible is the inspired Word of Almighty God. Now, people may doubt all of those things. They do and have criticized me for what I believe. But I'll tell you what, friend, I don't stand before you in judgment. I'll stand before who Him who is, was, and always shall be. But that's enough of that. Let me get on with the message. Listen to what Peter said in the book of 2 Peter chapter 2. But may I say this before I do? Let me tell you what 2 Peter is all about. 2 Peter is all about the apostasy. It is a sister chapter or book, I should say, or maybe one that parallels or complements 2 Thessalonians, the book of 2 Timothy chapter, or the book of 2 Timothy, the book of Jude. Listen, all four of these books, Thessalonians, 2 Timothy, Jude, and 2 Peter deal with the days that we're living in. Listen, folks, never doubt that we're in the apostasy. I believe with all of my heart we are in the apostasy that Paul spoke about, 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 3. And I know I say this often, but friend, I need to. I need to. It is that falling away, that one of a kind falling away that will directly precede the second coming of Christ, will directly precede the snatching away of the church and the revelation of that wicked one, that man of sin. But listen now what Peter says as we pick it up in verse 4. He said, for if, which means since, or in light of the fact. Look, the word if isn't always hypothetical. It can be, listen, it's apparent because of this, something will happen. So the Bible says, for if or since we understand that God spared not the angels that sinned, but cast them down to hell and delivered them into chains of darkness to be reserved unto judgment, and spared not the old world meaning the day, the world before the flood, but saved Noah, the eighth person, a preacher of righteousness, bringing in the flood upon the world of the ungodly, and turning the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes, condemned them with an overflow, making them an example unto those that would afterward live ungodly. I want to talk to you today for just a little while about this thought, beyond the place of redemption. Hey, friend, listen. The question would be to me and in your mind and in your heart, can someone go beyond the day of their redemption? Can someone go beyond the day that they could be? Listen, the answer is yes. Undeniable, inequivocally, it is yes, friend. Men and women, nations and populations go beyond the day where they can be redeemed. Now let me tell you what I do know. The Bible says in the book of Romans that where sin doth abound, grace, where sin abounds, grace doth much more abound. I do not, and listen to me now closely in what I'm going to say, I do not believe men can out-sin the grace of God just because of what Paul tells us there in Romans chapter 5. But let me tell you what I do believe. I believe and I know according to the record of the Word of God that men can out-sin their day of grace. They can go beyond. They can go beyond a point and a time, friend, where they reach a place of no return. They reach a place that the only remedy for their sin, their rejection of Christ, their scoffing at the Word of God, their scoffing at the opportunity God gives to fallen, sinful humanity, go beyond that place, and the only thing that's left for them is a judgment. Can I tell you, that's the only remedy for apostasy. According to the Word of God, the only remedy for apostasy is the judgment of Almighty God. And may I tell you, His justice, His judgment is always true and righteous altogether. Psalm 19 and 9 tells us two other times it speaks almost exactly the same thing in the book of the Revelation. I want you to know God is just, God is righteous, and God, friend, listen, is keeping a good record. But God is giving us warning, don't you think? God is giving us warning here in the book of 2 Peter chapter 2. And let me tell you something, friend. God doesn't want anybody to be lost. I've already told you that. I've said that about three times. Now in this message you say, why are you doing it, preacher? Why are you repeating it? Well, you need to know that you can be saved. You can be saved by the grace of God. God sent His Son into this world, friend, to die not only for the sinner, but as the sinner, so that we could be saved. He gave His life so that we could have His eternal life. But let me tell you something, friend. There comes a day when God's patience wears out. There becomes a day. Now listen, His love never wears out. God, His love, friend, listen. He doesn't just choose to love. He loves. Therefore, God is love. Therefore, He loves. Do you understand? Hey, but I'm going to tell you, friend, His holiness is important to Him. His judgment will be meted out. His righteousness will be maintained. And I want you to know there's a progression. There's a progression among mankind to get to the place where they cross that line, where there's no place of redemption for them. And I believe we can find this clearly delineated in the book of Romans chapter 1. I want you to notice in verse 24, 26, and 28 of the progression. Verse 24 says, and God gave them up. Verse 28 say, or 6 says, and God gave them up. But in verse 28, there's a little bit of a change. God gave them over to a reprobated mind. Oh, friend, listen, to do those things and are not convenient, who knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do them, but take pleasure in them. May I tell you, sir, ma'am, God has so designed you, so created you, that there is something in you that tells you when you do wrong, listen, bless God, hey, day, God knew what He was doing when He created man in the beginning. But God transgresses, goes beyond the bounds that God has set up. God's sin, sinners sin against God. They commit iniquity. They become wicked in their imagination and in their doing. And we're living in that day. We're living in that day where we're seeing reprobated minds being displayed everywhere that we look. But I've got to get to my message if I can. Listen, friend, Jesus came to redeem mankind. He came to die for whosoever will. I've already told you that. But men in this day aren't interested. To tell you, they're religious. They're religious. They're spiritual people. Why, look, the catchphrase nowadays is, well, I'm a person of faith. But hey, can I tell you something? Faith is not enough. You can have faith, and everybody does. Everybody has faith. But I'll tell you, it's not faith that's important. It's where you deposit that faith, sir. It's where you deposit that faith, ma'am. That's what makes it efficient. That's what makes it do its job. It's not, listen, that's not the principal thing, having faith, but the place where you put that faith, that's the principal thing. Now listen, Peter gives us examples of days in Noah and Lot's days that parallels our days. You all know that. If you heard me preach any at all, you've heard me preach on this. And I want you to know, friend, that in Noah's day, it was a very pornographic day, but in Lot's day, it was very perverted. And we have these days. We have Lot day and Noah days as examples. But can I tell you again, people in this day, as it were, in Lot days and Noah days, according to Luke 17, they weren't interested in eternal things. They had no concern about what's going to be beyond this life. They were so concerned with the here and the now. Listen, they were consumed with that. But listen to this. Let me tell you. In verse 4, God spared not the angels that sinned. All I'm going to say about this, there was a rebellion in heaven. Revelation chapter 12 records that. To tell you, it was bad. Satan and about a third of the angels were cast out. They were cast down, friend. Some of them seemed to be more wicked than others, are now reserved in a place called Tartarus. To give you the Greek term, that's a dark place. They're changed in everlasting change of darkness. But here's all I want to get on that. We can be sure that in light of the fact, if God judges angels, which are greater than men, mightier than men, higher than man, more powerful than man, listen, sir, listen, ma'am, believe me, yea, believe the Word of God, that God's going to judge lost mankind. I'll tell you, friend, listen, He's also going to judge the people who, like in the days of Noah, friend, who were living in a day when population was exploding, when there was violence that covered the face of the earth, when the hearts of man was continually evil. I want you to know how that God, if He judged them, and He did, He's going to judge us without a doubt. Hey, can I tell you what? There are people, Peter would go on to tell us in his third chapter of this second letter that we have record of, that in the last days there shall come mockers walking after their own lust, saying, where is the promise of the Father? For since the Father, where is the promise? For since, I'm not reading him trying to quote it, just thinking about things. Where is the promise for all things continue as they were since the beginning? Let me tell you how that relates to us. In Noah's day, Noah was a preacher of righteousness. Peter tells us here, he was a preacher that was a herald. He cried out. He warned his generation to flee the wrath to come. He told them that God was angry with them. He told that apostate generation, that apostate people, that the one true God, which is, was, and always has been, is going to judge. He's going to judge by bringing rain upon the earth, a flood upon the earth. And you know what? They looked at Noah probably and said, prove it. Well, I'll tell you, 120 years after God said, look, the days of man are 120 years, God proved it. Noah didn't have to, but God proved it. All Noah had to do was proclaim it. Hey, that's all I've got to do. I don't have to prove anything to you. All God's called me to do is to proclaim, thus saith the Lord, is to proclaim faithfully, fully, as powerfully as possible. Hey, judgment's coming. Jesus is returning. This world is sinful. This world needs redemption, and it's available today. But there's a time, friend, listen, when it'll no longer be available. I'm concerned about America. In the days of Noah, there were people that said, prove it. Bless God, in the days of Lot, there were people that said, I just simply don't believe it. They laughed at Lot, and they had a reason to laugh at Lot. He wasn't living much of a separated life, was he? But let me tell you a few things. Oh, I there's so much to say. I wish I had more time. But let me tell you some things that's brought us to this place in America. In 1901, the American Standard Version of the Bible was printed. You say, why are you saying that for a preacher? Listen, when this nation began to abandon the King James Version of the Bible, listen, we can see how we've gone the wrong way. Listen, if you can't relate to this kind of stuff, I have empathy and sympathy for you. In 19, and by the way, I'll not give everything that's needed to be given or what has happened, but I hope these are enough to cause us to stop and think. 1962, our Supreme Court decided it was no longer a good idea to pray collectively in public school, and look what kind of a mess we've got in public schools today. In fact, they thought they were doing such a good job of ridding us with prayer there that in 1963, the Supreme Court decided that Bible reading in school, open Bible reading in school, was unconstitutional. In 1974, the United Church of Christ was the first, quote, mainline denomination, unquote, in the United States to ordain an openly gay person. 1973, Roe versus Wade, the Supreme Court gave consent to killing babies in their mother's womb. And since that time, there's been over 60 million aborted, murdered in America, friend. Oh, listen, he who sheds blood by his blood shall the land be cleansed. He said, hey, listen, in 2020, there was a vaccine that was developed. Now, you listen to this. There was a vaccine developed to protect baby cows from miscarriages or spontaneous abortions. And yet, there were a legislative group in New York that applauded the passage of a bill that said you could abort a baby up to the last minute. Hey, friends, listen, we're not going to get by. 1980, the Supreme Court had the Ten Commandments removed from public school. And I'm going to tell you, friend, I believe with all of my heart, I'm the very nail that went into the lid, the last nail that went into the lid of our coffin in America, friend, was in 2015 where the Supreme Court legalized gay marriage. Now let me tell you something, sir or ma'am, you can do anything you choose. You've got God's privilege or privilege to do that. You've got mine. We can make choices. But I'll tell you what, friend, just because you do it, just because the Supreme Court justices voted maybe 8-1, I can't remember right off, that it's legal in the United States does not make it legal in the eyes of God. And when it's all said and done, sir, ma'am, may I say this as humbly as I can, as broken in my heart towards you as I can, you've got to stand before God, your Creator, You've got to stand before Him and give an account of why you rejected the love of Christ, the warnings of Christ, the grace of Christ. Oh, listen, friend, listen. Christ makes a difference in us. He makes us a new creature in Him. And I'm here to tell you, friend, I'm here to tell you, bless God, listen, He loved us enough to send His Son to die at a place called Calvary. Now listen, God hates sin of all sorts. Mankind knows that. Every preacher that's got any sense at all about that knows that. But I didn't write the Bible. When Peter said, God gave us the days of Noah, the angels that sin, and Sodom and Gomorrah as examples of the wrath of God being poured out upon a Christ-rejecting, God-denying world. Hey, I don't know about you, but I'm afraid we've gone beyond the place of redemption. Hey, but I'll tell you, I know God's gracious. Go to Him. Repent if you can. Naturally, it may be too late, but not for you. Until the next time.
You are my Savior.
Thank you, friend, for listening to Inspirational Truths today. It is our prayer that the message and the song has been a blessing to your soul and has in some way ministered to your heart. We hope that you will make plans to join us every week at this same time. If you have a special request that you would like us to know about, please feel free to write us and we will be sure to pray about your request, whatever it is. If you'd like to contact us, our address is Inspirational Truths, P.O. Box 10004, Charleston, West Virginia, 25357. That's Inspirational Truths, P.O. Box 10004, Charleston, West Virginia, 25357. Or on the web at TOMANDDEBBIE at inspirationaltruths.com. That's Tom and Debbie at inspirationaltruths.com. Remember, friend, this is a work of faith. We need both your prayers and your listening ear. Now, until the next time, it is our prayer that God will richly bless both you and yours.
You are my